decide what we think and how we feel and how everything about us. And in 1 Samuel, verse 6, 7, it says, "The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So in other words, like I said, God doesn't care about what we look like on the outside. He only cares about what's on the inside. Wouldn't it be cool if we as people did that same thing? When we looked at someone, rather than thinking about what they look, if they were beautiful or not, or handsome or not, wouldn't it be cool if we just saw their hearts or what they were like on the inside? Wouldn't that be great? Well, we can kind of start doing that. Instead, when we look in the mirror at home, we can think, try not to judge and of other people by what they look like, and kind of do what God does and just looks at what's inside. So that's what I want you to kind of think about, because that's what really matters, is your heart. Okay? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you in heaven for everything. Thank you for these kids. Please help us not to judge people by how they look on the outside, and help us to love people no matter what they look like. We ask you this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we've started down a new path here. I have called it Why Church? With a question mark. And I decided on that title because I love our church. Maybe you've guessed that. I love our community. I love the way we come together to share lives, to share goals, to encourage, to support. And I think what church offers is another level that's unique in connection because we share the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of organizations you can belong to, but there's something deeper and special about church. At least there should be, right? We come together to celebrate the blessing of being God's children. Last week we started with, we talked about Where Everybody Knows Your Name, didn't we? The song. Remember that from Cheers? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, where they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see trouble is all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. And I talked about how it made me sad that that song only referred to a bar, a tavern. Why couldn't it refer to here? That this is a place where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. We talked about that. We talked about how when you're not here, someone misses you. It's not a guilt thing. It's that there's something about community, isn't there? And you, every one of you here, touch somebody else here in a way that you just don't know. Because something about coming together, and you and I share, and I realize, you know, I'm not the only one going through this. I'm not alone. So we started asking questions. How important is this thing we call church? Is what we're doing here at church what God asked us to do as his body? What's my place in this group? What's my role? Because honestly, there are many things in this world that demand our time and attention. There are many good things in this world that call for us, that ask us to be a part, and they're valuable things to do. And this is one as well. And so how do I balance these things? What's going on in my life? The amazing thing I think about Jesus is that he invites. His approach doesn't hound you. He doesn't nag you. He doesn't insist. He doesn't put guilt on you. That's not what he does. He invites you to be a part of a body. And his call is just that, an invitation. It's often that still small voice that's speaking into your heart. And if we're not careful, though, it can be the voice that kind of gets pushed to the side because it isn't insistent and loud and haranguing. It isn't the urgent, it's the important. We have people like that in our lives, don't we? People that you go and you spend time with, you get together for coffee or you have more for dinner, you think, why don't I spend more time with them? Every time I leave them, I feel refreshed. I feel energized. I feel encouraged. Why don't I spend more time with them? And sometimes it's like that with God, isn't it? We're so busy because we have so much to do. And yet this is important, isn't it? Coming together is important. There's no gold star when you talk about being a part of church. Can we just start there again? There's no gold star for constant church attendance. Woo, you know. There's no gold star for your big financial donation. There's no gold star if you make that 3 ministry minimum. I'm also doing, and you start listing them, you know. There's no gold star for the most scriptures memorized. What a letdown, huh? There's no gold star if you can make those devotions last an hour a day. Right? Because what this is about is truly about your one-on-one relationship with God. And then coming together and sharing what you have with others as they share what they've found with you. That's what this is about. Relationship. So let's keep talking about community, shall we? Our church community. And I have to tell you, I find this to be yet another tricky area to address as a pastor. Just so you know. How do you call people to joyfully engage in something that you're in charge of without feeling like you're nagging them? And I wrestle with that, just so you know. If you're not here for 2 or 3 weeks, oh, I hate calling people. I want to know you're okay, but I don't want to make you feel guilty or nag you. It's a hard line for me to walk, just so you know. So if you're ill, tell me. That makes it way easier for me. Because you being here, there is no attendance chart. That's not what this is about. This is about our community that we love and that we get to be a part of. And just so you know, I am passionate about this body of believers. We've been together about 2 years, a little over 2 years now. And I hope that you're enjoying learning along with me and living our life together here along with me. And balanced with that passion that I have, I want to make sure, is the joy of coming together without guilt, without pressure that says, and you maybe you never got this look, but I used to, you know, good Christians, you know, fill in the blank. This is, we come together to share in joy, not to be guilted into something. And any guilt that you do feel in your life needs to come from the Holy Spirit and Him alone, not from me as your pastor or from other people here. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to nudge you and have you go, wait a minute, hang on. Maybe I need to change something. I need to reconsider that. Or sometimes like, ooh, I need to stop doing that right now. Depending on how that nudge goes. Or maybe it's a kick, whatever it is. So we're taking time to talk about why church, because we want to know that we're following what Jesus asked us to do as a body of believers. What did He expect of us? Why did He create a body? We talked about this last week. He didn't make us little island isolated Christians. Come here. Okay, you know about Jesus. Go out there. Okay. Good luck. Do it all on your own. I hope you're a strong-willed person who can hold it all together. We're going to start with the first church. So if you want to join me, we are in Acts chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And Acts is a book of history. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the Gospels, and 3 out of the 4 tell nearly the same story. They tell about Jesus' life and Him coming here and sharing the gospel and people coming to Him. And in Acts, Luke, the author, continues the story of the church. He takes it from Jesus has gone back to heaven and says, here's how it all started out. Here's what it all How it all came about. So we are in Acts chapter 2. We are in verse 41, and it goes like this. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. Peter stood up in front of thousands of people, as did each of the disciples spread out, the apostles did. They spoke to everybody in their own languages, it says, because this was Passover, and people had come from all over the known world to worship. and they told the gospel message. And when Peter got done, those who believed what he said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Have you ever thought about starting a group of people with 3,000 immediately? You're going to start a group that has no real guidelines, no real structure yet. What a big job that was. 3,000 people all at once. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day, the Lord added to the fellowship those who were being saved. That's how it all kicked off. That's the start of the church, a group of believers coming together to learn a new thing to do. Many of them had come from a Jewish faith that had very strict guidelines of what worship looked like. Very strict. There were strict rules for men and strict rules for women. And then Jesus came and said, you know what? God doesn't care whether you're male or female or Jew or Greek or Gentile. He wants us all to come together, and it's level ground at the foot of the cross. And you need to know that that was revolutionary in their day. Men and women coming together to learn was unheard of. Men and women coming together to pray together was new. Because before there was the men's area to pray and the women's area. And Jesus said, you know what? We are all one body. And that's how come so much of the New Testament was written. All those letters written to those churches to say, here's what loving God looks like. Here's what living in Christ looks like. Because they were setting aside an old book and starting something fresh and new. And Paul writes again and again, you need to let go of all those rules of the past, and you need to embrace relationship and love, because that's what Jesus is about. Because the more I love him, the more I act like him. The more I love God, the more what I do reflects him in me. So they wrote those letters to encourage them. But at this time, right now, when they're getting together, they didn't have that yet. All they had was the Old Testament. They had the Psalms. They had the Pentateuch. They had some prophets. But not everybody had them in their home. You couldn't go buy an Old Testament at the local market. If you had some scrolls, you probably were very wealthy. It was average people coming together to learn and to grow together. They became known as followers of the way, and the way defined them for many, many years. If you belonged to the way, you were a follower of Jesus. I imagine it was hard to let go of the past and everything you'd been raised to do and to do something different. If I took everybody here and I said, we're going to go and live in Haiti, we're going to go live in Africa, it would be a completely new culture. Am I right? It was for them. Coming together was new. So what were they going to be about? Here's what it says. They were together to learn about Jesus. They were there to love one another, it says. They were there to share time together. They were there to pray together. They were there to share resources, all their resources, to do church, to show hospitality, and to praise God. These were the things that they were going to be about. You'll notice that there are no guidelines given as to how to do that. Isn't that wonderful? So a church in Africa can do what their culture makes them feel good about, and we get to do that here. It wasn't thou shalt come together, thou shalt sing three hymns, and then thou shalt sing two children's songs. You must follow that with communion. There's no rules. We get to decide how we're worshiping the Lord. The results of them choosing to come together and to do this were a deep sense of awe. And that word means respect, reverence. It means even a fearful reverence. If you don't have any fear of the Lord in you, take a deep breath and give it some more thought. Because let me tell you who's in charge of every breath you take. This week, I developed a terrible bronchial attack. Brian came home on Thursdays. I sat on the couch wheezing like you can't even imagine. He said, get in the car. We're going to the emergency room. Every breath for a day and a half, I listened to every single breath. And let me tell you what, after a while, that gets old. When every breath is like, that's all you can hear. It's like, you can't even plug your ears and get away from it. Every breath we take is in his hands. And you better have a fearful respect of that. I don't live in fear of God. I live with a reverent fear of God. And that's what they had. The apostles did many miracles at that time. Why don't we see miracles today in our church? Do you wonder about that sometimes? How come that gift just didn't keep going? Whenever God would start something new, he wanted people to know that his hand was on that ministry. His hand was either on that prophet or his hand was on what was happening. And the way he did that was to give them the power, his power, to do amazing things. And then he expects us to continue that legacy and draw people in. Not only did they have all of that happening inside, result of this coming together in love says that they had goodwill from the community around them. Everybody in Jerusalem began to know about the Church of the Way. And it says they enjoyed the goodwill of the community around them. When you watch a group of people come together who are doing something amazing, who are loving well, who are caring well, who are sacrificing well, you're drawn to it. You appreciate what they're doing. I'm not Catholic, but I'll tell you what, I can read articles about Mother Teresa and appreciate the love and the care that she gave to people who were in the literal gutters. Because when you're doing things in love, people are amazed by that.